can't be Denver County. Last time we played Denver, they scored 7 times.
Haven't you guys ever seen these movies? We're just supposed to rally together, believe in ourselves, and we win in the end.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
Unapologetically Canadian, you're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
All right, that's fine. Okay. I'm feeling too sexy to accept requests.
Way too sexy.
And I'm way too sexy to go unprotected.
Way too sexy.
And she popped a Tesla, now she gonna let you. Okay, all right, that's fine. Okay. Think we got too sexy for that metro housing.
Way too sexy.
Diamond popped out, almost swallowed 60,000.
60 pieces.
Section need more things in here, I like it crowded.
Hey, whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I like it crowded. Oh, you like the boy? Well, tell me what you like about him.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. It's going to be a big show. We have a great guest with us and completely, totally, 100% excited to talk to her because she's got all sorts of stuff she's done in her career. Before we do that, though, Jason, how are you? How's everything going this week?
Going pretty great. The weather's not that great, but, you know, otherwise, pretty good.
I definitely agree with you on that. The weather is kind of crappy, but that's Winnipeg for you. So If you don't like it, wait 5 minutes, right?
Exactly. It'll be completely different season in about 5 minutes. So,
with that, folks, we're not going to waste too much time, though. We got a lot to go over tonight with our guests. So let's get into this. As tonight, The Hockey Show basically welcomes a player who is making waves south of the border after being a star across the eastern border of this province. Following in the footsteps of other players such as Haley Irwin, Jenna McParland, a number of great players who played for them, who played for the Thunder Bay Queens out in Thunder Bay, made names for themselves in the NCAA. Our guest is a standout scorer now with Minnesota State Mankato Mavericks, if you're looking for where she's playing today after graduating from Thunder Bay. As it stands, her hockey skills are great. She has a number of records and scoring totals that we'll go over that will make your jaw drop a little bit, but she's reportedly also starring in another sport for the school. Who is this multi-sport athlete? Let's find out tonight as we welcome to the show. I'm beyond grateful to have her talking to us tonight. It's Alexis Paddington of Minnesota State Mankato. How are you, Alexis? How's everything going down south? How's life in the NCAA today?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, we are. We're proud. We're honored. So thanks for doing this.
I'm excited to be here. Yeah, it's definitely getting a little cooler here now too, down south, but not as cold as Thunder Bay or Winnipeg. I can tell you that.
That's okay. That's all right. We expect it to be a little warmer than what we deal with up here. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Before we get into everything or whatever, how's the hockey season going so far?
You know, it's going good. It's been a bit of a tough start for us. We've played a couple top teams in our division. WCHA is definitely the toughest, most competitive division. So our team has potential, though, so I'm super excited to keep playing as the weeks go on.
All right. Well, let's get underway here. Jason, I'll let you do the honors.
All right. Before we start talking about hockey, we want to get a little bit of background on you. So back on April 3rd, 2003, Dave and Carolyn Paddington welcomed a bouncing baby girl to their household. Give us a little bit of a picture into life in Thunder Bay and kind of life growing up for you.
Yeah, well, I actually was told the day I was born there was a snowstorm. Nobody could come see me on the day I was born, like my grandparents. No one could get in there. everyone was super excited to meet me. And then I started skating when I was 3 years old. My dad has built a rink in our backyard every year. So that was kind of how I started hockey. And then I have two younger brothers, Elliot and Ben. Elliot's 17. He just got drafted to the Sioux Greyhounds, actually, last year, I believe. And then Ben, he's 13. So he's still a little younger, but it's always a competitive household, especially having two younger brothers. Like, it was... My mom's a elementary school teacher, so she taught at the school where I grew up at, and then both my brothers went there after me. So I like to say I'm the favorite, but
that's okay. You can say that. That's allowed on the show.
They'll argue, but I don't know. I think I'm my dad's favorite for sure.
So, I mean, obviously the older sister of two younger brothers, again, EJ and Ben, and Elliot and Ben, in terms of who they are. Mm-hmm. Gotta ask, and you can certainly deny this, and you can certainly, were you like the mean older sister when you were younger? Or was it pretty peaceful in the house?
It was definitely not peaceful. No. My brother Elliot and I, because we're a lot closer in age, so right. He was a lot more competitive with me about everything. Like if I did something, he had to do it, or if he did something, I'm like, why can't I do that? Like I'm older. So we definitely grew up having a lot of bickering, but as we got older, more in high school, we kind of settled down, and it's a lot more peaceful now. But
it's usually how it goes.
Yeah, with age, maturity, but. Yeah, it's good.
I mean, so you mentioned how your dad built the rink in your backyard. I'm assuming that's where you first learned to skate. Mm-hmm. But Teebs was able to find some pictures of you skating with Niebing. Was that the first organized team you played with?
Yeah, those were my like first years, like actually playing like hockey with a team. And that, during that time too, I was actually doing dance. I used to do dance. So I'd go from like dance to hockey, and I'd leave hockey and be in like my pink, like tutu, and like go to dance. And eventually my parents were like, okay, you need to pick, like, we can't do both. So I ended up choosing hockey, which I'm happy with that decision, I think, to this yeah. day. So
yeah, sounds like
I mean, it worked out for you.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah.
I mean, mom and dad were quite involved with basketball, and I mean, you played, which no mm-hmm. big surprise there. But again, you just mentioned you're an extremely busy kid. As we legitimately ran through almost, I don't know, every sport under the sun that you played in. So dance, volleyball, soccer, track and field. There was a bit of a wrestling phase in there.
A little bit.
what people don't know, though, is that you, Alexis, are one heck of a tennis player as well. I mean, again, winning championships in Thunder Bay and all sorts of stuff. We're not saying you're jumping to the pro tennis circuit or anything, but obviously playing all those different sports gives you a variety of different experiences. Do you feel that playing all those sports was helpful in getting, you know, you to where you are today in terms of playing NCAA hockey?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, having like so many different types of sports, like each sport is different and it helps you in so many different ways. But I feel like multi-sport athletes, it helps a lot, especially with hockey. Like tennis, I found was really good for like agility. And I love playing tennis too. And I don't really as much anymore, but I think it is really helpful. Like in just growing as a person, like outside of the sport too, like having so many different like networks of people to kind of like, oh, like I played basketball with her in high school. Like, how are you? Or going back to like the tennis club in my hometown and seeing all these people that I grew up like playing tennis with. Like, it's super cool to have that like variety of people to see.
And obviously being involved in so many things,
mm-hmm.
it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of effort. Was there ever a question of, you know, one like hockey over another sport, or was hockey like the sport for you kind of going all the way through that? You know, it's the sport you always came back to, or was there a bit of a mixture in there?
Yeah, so I consistently played hockey since I was four. And then I've kind of added in sports here and there. When I got to high school, it was just hockey and tennis. And I was like, I really do want to like play high school sports. Like, I want to get that experience. So I tried out for a basketball team in high school. So I played high school basketball and volleyball. But it was kind of hockey was a priority, and basketball and volleyball were like a second priority behind that. But my coach in with the Queens was really good about being flexible. If I did have a basketball game, he would be like, okay, you can go to that. Just make sure you try and get to practice as soon as you can, kind of thing. So that was kind of nice, having like the balance a bit. So I kind of got to enjoy like playing high school sports, but I also had hockey, which was definitely my priority at the time.
A little bit of a weird sort of situation as well. Mankato isn't the first time Minnesota's come into play for you in terms of your hockey ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
You also played for the Minnesota Northern Wings when you were younger. So how does a Canadian mm-hmm. kid end up playing for a fairly prestigious AAA hockey program in Duluth, Minnesota?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a lot about, like, it goes back to my Thunder Bay Queens team. We traveled a lot and we'd play a lot of games in Duluth, Minneapolis. We go to Toronto, Winnipeg, and just even playing games not in our hometown, it's a lot of exposure. So that really helped with getting seen to go play on the Minnesota Northern Wings. And that was a really cool experience for those couple of years playing here and meeting a whole new group of girls playing Minnesota hockey, who I actually, one of them is my teammate now, who I played with on that team. So it's super cool to see how like small world it is that we ended up being on the same team for college.
And, you know, that is a very prestigious program. But the one where you really started to get a lot of attention for your hockey ability was with the Thunder Bay Queens program. We've got the numbers here. So you had 156 goals, 105 assists in 150 game, which is it's just incredible, like a goal per game pace. Can you tell us a little bit about playing for the Queens and like just how much fun you had playing with that group?
Yeah, so I switched over. I played guys hockey until I was about 11 or 12. And then at that point, it was kind of my dad and I talked about it. And I made the switch over to girls hockey just because it would allow me to travel a lot more and kind of get the exposure that I wanted. And it was honestly one of the best decisions I made. Like I have friendships on that team. I still talk to a lot of those girls every day. And it was just such a fun 6 or 7 years, I think I played for them. Minus the COVID situation, but it was just such a fun experience, like traveling every couple weeks and playing games against teams from everywhere. We played a lot of a variety of teams. We actually played some high school hockey teams in Minnesota, which I thought was, I think is pretty cool now after like living in Minnesota. I'm kind of like, oh, like I played that team. Oh, wait, I know them. Like I know all these teams. Like, so it's really cool. And there's a really good role models for me too. I had a really great coaching staff for all my years there, and to this day I still try and check in with them and ask how they're all doing. But
we're gonna bring that coaching staff up from the Queens right away here, because 2016 saw you go off a little bit as the Queens leading scorer and team MVP, so obviously huge accolades that way in terms of mm-hmm. playing well out there. This I want to play hockey decision probably has a little bit of payoff coming up if, in terms of you having a little bit of on-ice success. But again, you had several of them while climbing the hockey ladder, obviously going from Pee-wee right up to Bantam in the Queens sort of program there. Who were the coaches with the Queens that had the most influence at, you know, not only making you a better player at that level, but a better player beyond as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, going into my second year of Bantam, that was a really big adjustment. Even first year Bantam, it was a really big adjustment because it was kind of like, okay, you need to start thinking about college hockey. And that for me was like scary. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm in ninth grade, like why do I have to think about this already? Because it's like it sneaks up on you. I was like, wait, like I'm still young, like I've got time. But yeah, so Dennis Lavoie, he was the head coach for 4 years for me, and he was one of the biggest influences for me. It was like a tough love type thing too, and I loved that because I didn't want to always be told like, oh, good job. Like he'd tell me if I was messing up and he would yell at me. And I appreciate that. And I respect that so much because like that, I think that helped me make me the player I am today too. And I did have my dad as my coach for a while when I was younger. And he was definitely a big tough love influence on me too, but he did bench me a couple times, but yeah, those are definitely two people who influenced me.
Benching you is definitely the definition of tough love at that point. Wow.
Yep.
So as was mentioned, you were the team MVP in 2016, but you also had that accolade in 2017 when you were leading the team and scoring once again, but you weren't the only person named MVP that year. Who did you share that award with?
Mm-hmm. So Brenna Nickel, she's actually playing at University of Manitoba right now. Mm-hmm. She also won that award with me. And we actually played University of Manitoba for an exhibition game, which I thought was crazy cool because that was like a cool crossover from Canada to US. So I got to catch up with her and Molly Kunis, who's another member of that team, which was really, really fun. And she's a really good player too. She used to be my line mate actually. So I do miss her, but she's had a very successful career so far, and it's only going to keep growing.
We got to see the Alexis Paddington show in living color here as the Queens took part in the Female World Sports School Challenge a few times here in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. What do you recall from that tournament? Did you enjoy sort of testing yourself against teams you'd never usually see, like Shattuck St. Mary's and Notre Dame, for example?
Yeah, it's always cool when you're playing against like iconic teams, you know, like Shattuck especially. Like it's crazy to think that our team would play them, I guess, just because they're such a prestigious private school. But it was really cool to see us play against them and kind of test, like, oh, we can compete with them. Like, we're good. Like, we need to keep going kind of thing. And now there's my former teammate is actually playing there right now currently. So it's really cool to see people going to play at Shattuck and having successes there at such a cool, prestigious school.
Awesome. Kind of continuing to scroll the timeline of your career forward, 2018 was a pretty important year, I would say, in your career. Again, you were the Queen's leading scorer. You're the most valuable offensive player. But on August 19th of that 2018, it was a Sunday, Minnesota State Mankato put out a release that you committed to play for the program. So whatever you were doing in 2018 caught Coach John Harrington's attention. It's always interesting to know the story behind how these decisions are made and how these opportunities come about. So what can you tell us about when you knew that Minnesota State was interested in you? How'd they get in contact? And then, you know, what was the process of getting involved with the program like?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, I was very young when I started my recruiting process, and there are rules in place now that it isn't that young. I think you have to be past 10th grade now. But I was talking to Minnesota State through my 9th grade year. The coaches had come to watch me play in the spring a couple times throughout the year. And that's when I kind of was like getting serious about wanting to play college hockey. I was like, no, I want to do this. Like, so then I ended up touring Mankato in the summer, and I really, really liked it here. It was the feel, like the environment, the coaching staff. I really wanted coaches that reminded me of my coaches that I had in the past. So that was a really big thing for me too. So I toured here, and then I went to a camp. They held like a camp for like recruits. Went to that, and I really liked it. For me, it was kind of debating about the distance, because it was 7 hours, which isn't, looking back, it's not that far. 7 hours isn't that bad. But at the time, I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I can't go home on the weekends. Like, but I ultimately decided to come here just because it gave me such like an at-home feel. Like, I felt like I was in Thunder Bay, but like I wasn't. Like, I was home away from home. But I was debating about Duluth just because it was so close to home. And I did tour it, but I didn't get that, like, the feeling I felt here. Like, I almost like knew when I toured here that I wanted to come here. And I can't even explain the feeling. It just kind of happened. I was like, yeah, this, I could see myself like playing here. So that's kind of how I decided. And then right before my 10th grade year, I committed, which was crazy. It was 4 years ago now. But yeah,
I mean, that was only the verbal commitment. So there was still a chance that you could, you know, you can make a change if you wanted. We're not going to say that happened, but we always ask this of our guests, obviously. You mentioned one name already. Most of our guests who are playing high level hockey have had a number of schools, a number of people sort of come talk to them. You don't have to name names, but were there other programs that came calling for you to join them that year?
There were, and it was a bit of an overwhelming type of process, because it was a lot of communication with multiple different coaches. So it was kind of, I was trying to kind of pinpoint like where I really wanted to like look at, where I was really interested in. And I've always known I've wanted to play in the WCHA just because it's the most competitive division. I did think about out east, but at the end of the day, out east is very far from where I live, and I did want my parents to come watch at least a little bit. So yeah, it was definitely a bit overwhelming at the start. And then I kind of started figuring out my top couple schools. And then for me, it was Mankato. I really loved it, and I still love it. So.
And I mean, we are at a Canadian institution, a Canadian school. I think the obvious question is, was there ever a consideration to play U Sport over NCAA? Did any U Sport teams come calling and asking if you were interested?
I didn't really talk to the Canadian side of hockey and schools. I kind of had my mind set on playing in the NCAA, so I focused my attention a lot more south of the border. But a lot of my teammates had a lot of success with talking to the Canadian side of recruiting, and there are a few teammates that I have our old teammates that are playing at Wisconsin Superior, just across from Duluth, which is D3. So that's pretty cool that I get to see them sometimes too.
So no, there was never, it was a no for anything U sports at that point. Like nobody even came to talk to you. That's the part I can't believe, is that nobody even came to talk to you. It's considering your kind of gaudy numbers that you put up with Thunder Bay, that, hey, look at her. She's pretty good. We should probably just even talk to her, even if she's not interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was very set on NCAA too. So I was kind of more attentive to schools from NCAA, but
okay.
And there's a lot of Queens alum that have played NCAA too, which is why it also kind of caught my eye a lot more. Like Sam Isabel, she was definitely one big role model for me, and her brother's actually, I'm actually good friends with her brother. So it's pretty cool that she played at Mercyhurst. So I was like, oh, like maybe I could go to Mercyhurst. I'll talk to them, but that was too far. I wanted to be in Minnesota.
That's okay. That nothing wrong with that. 2019 was another most valuable offensive player season. You had another solid season where you also won the Can-Am Cup. So congratulations on that. You played from the Queens, right? As we said, from Pee Wee right up to Bantam. Obviously, teammates come and go as players get older, players graduate, all that kind of stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. Does having that continuity from Pee Wee to Bantam, especially in the Queens program, where you know your current and future teammates fairly well, contribute a large part to the Queens' success, as well as your own success, obviously, as well? Like, does having that sort of year to year, oh, I'm going to be playing with this person next year, kind of help?
I think in some sense it does. Like there's some people I grew up playing with. They were my line mates for 4 years. So that, like, the chemistry was there and I knew it would kind of always be there. When I got to Midget, actually, the year we won the Can-Am Cup, it was with an older age group. So it was people I'd never really played with before, because there's a 3-year age gap in Midget. So that was kind of, it was kind of different, and it was kind of exciting to have like a whole new group of teammates that I kind of never played with before. And I thought it was also very sad, of course, when they had to leave, and that was tough, but it was really cool. And I think that's what kept like our team so close growing up, is that we kind of knew who we were going to be with. Like there would be newcomers and some people would leave, but there was like a solid group of us, about 10, that would kind of stay the same, like kind of go up in the program together.
And I mean, having that like continuity and having that group, you said 10 players that kind of stuck together throughout that time, really probably made it quite easy to bring people along, bring people into that. But aside from obviously the skill you showed and the offensive accolades and the awards that you won in 2020, you were named captain. What changes when you wear the C? You went from, you know, obviously having no letter to having the letter to being the captain. Is there anything that really changes? Obviously, you had that group of 10 players that had been together. Did it make it easier?
I try to not let much change when something like being named captain, like it is a huge honor, but I feel like it's more just like, for me, I like leading silently. I don't really like being like the voice, and there are other people who are that voice. And I don't think much needed to change with that group of us, because we were all so close anyway. And it was just a really cool experience. Of course, COVID, it was a little more tough to have that, but yeah, it, for me, I don't want to look at it like it's a huge change, because I just want to keep being the same type of person and player I am, like, consistently. So
you don't go into the room, start kicking garbage cans, things aren't going. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, definitely not.
So, I mean, that pretty much does it for the prep level of hockey. I mean, you guys had a great run there for Queens, and I mean, certainly things went well. And I mean, so let's cut to the chase. What are your best memories as being a Queen? You played for the organization for what, six years, I guess, with Pee Wee in there. So, I mean, what stands out as some of the best times as a Queen?
Yeah, my favorite memories are just traveling. We'd rent little minivans, and we'd split up into 3 minivans. Coaches would drive a minivan. It was just, and we'd go through a few intersections with the door open. That probably wasn't safe either, but it's a memory I have, and it was a lot of fun. And then my first year of Midget, we actually had a prank war with our coaches at the final tournament at Provincials, and we teepeed their van. So we got like toilet paper, like shampoo, like wrote on it. Like, it was bad. And we didn't see the van teepee the next morning, which meant he went and got it washed. But it was definitely fun to do that for sure. And, you know, he, with our coaches, to have that relationship, to be able to prank them and they prank us back. Like, it's super fun. So
that's all right. Yeah. I mean, take advantage when you can, right? So
yeah.
So with the prep career done, you made the move from Thunder Bay to Mankato, Minnesota. Not a lot of people, I mean, obviously a lot of people in Manitoba know what Minnesota is like, but if you want to play travel agent for a second, you've talked at length about the program, about the university. Tell us a little bit about the city of Mankato. It's 60,000 people. Mm-hmm. You've been there for a little while. Just tell us a bit about the city and maybe, you know, playing travel agent, are there some good places to visit or things to go see?
Yeah, it's a very like compact town. It's really nice because everything's pretty close together. And another nice thing is if we did want to go to the city, like we can drive an hour to Minneapolis and it's right there if we want something bigger, I guess. But I guess the main thing here is it's a lot of farms, and I'm a huge sunset person. So I actually really enjoy going for drives and like walks with watching the sunset or reading. So that's like one thing I really enjoy doing here. And because it's like a lot of flat ground, it's really pretty. And there are also a lot of like hiking trails around, more like walking hiking trails. There aren't too many mountains. I don't think there are any actually, but yeah, it's really nice. I really like it here. There's a lot of local restaurants hidden if you can find them. Where I live is pretty close to campus, which is really nice. So it's an easy 30, 40 second drive, or I can just walk if I want to.
It sounds like if people from Manitoba went and visited, if they didn't look at the top of a flagpole, they just assume that they were still in Manitoba. Sounds
yep.
Pretty much the same.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a really nice small town. I kind of like the vibe that I get here because it reminds me a lot of at home. The only difference is a lot less driving here, which I really like. So
I feel like you might have missed out on a fun fact. Not that you may know this or not, Alexis, but the last remaining Happy Chef statue on the planet is in Mankato.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. I was looking up information, and apparently that's something that Mankato is known for. It's the last place you can see the Happy Chef statue. So is the Happy Chef restaurant a favorite sort of breakfast or lunch or dinner place for you guys? Or is there another place where you guys crash and sort of have coffee and chat over what's going on?
Actually have not eaten at the Happy Chef before.
Really?
So, yes, I have not eaten there, so I actually don't know.
Okay.
But
maybe it's for the best that statue is terrifying.
Yeah, maybe. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I am a big Chipotle person, which is very nice that there's Chipotle here.
Okay.
I'm also a very big coffee drinker, so Starbucks, Caribou, any local coffee place, I will go there. But there's a breakfast place kind of on campus called Waggy's. So we have like team meals there sometimes, or we'll just go there for breakfast on an off day. It's pretty good.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I'm gonna put you on the spot then. Caribou or Tim Hortons, which is better?
Oh, I think I have to say Tim Hortons. I have to. Like, I love it. I do miss it so much with not being here.
Okay, but that's fair.
But Caribou is a close second. I think I would pick Starbucks over Caribou, though.
Okay. No, that's fair. I know that Caribou is all over the place in Minnesota. Like, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like their local Tim Hortons there, which is kind of cool. But yeah. I just wasn't sure if there was any difference in terms of, you know, how good is the coffee or whatever from there. So that's cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the food at Tim Hortons too, though. All the food there is so good.
Okay.
But
that's totally fair.
I also have an important question, maybe not as controversial as the Tim's or Caribou question.
Yeah.
But obviously Thunder Bay is your home, but with Mankato, is it starting to feel like, does it feel like home in terms of, you know, the size, the people, the culture, or does it feel very different from Thunder Bay?
After living here for about a year and a couple months, I would say it's definitely starting to feel a lot more like home, especially like just the people and having those relationships with people on my team now. And like, they are I see them every day. I practice, we have lift, skate, and then I spend my day hanging out with my teammates. So it's really fun. And it's kind of weird going home now, honestly. It's like, wait, is this really where I like live? Like, I don't feel like I live there anymore. So it's weird because I feel like a guest in my own house sometimes. But yeah, I really like it. And it's definitely a lot more homey now.
Let's get into the hockey stuff then, because obviously you're doing some great things on the ice. You jumped into university hockey with a bang in terms of getting started on September 24th, 2021. You debuted with the Mavericks against Merrimack, which is always exciting. Got to ask you the obvious question. Were you nervous? Like, what's going through your head knowing that number 14 will be on the ice that night in yellow and navy?
Yeah, I was internally freaking out a bit. Like, first college hockey game, hadn't played a hockey game in almost 2 years.
Right.
It might have been two, just with the borders shutting down and everything. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is my first game in a really long time. Like, we need to get going here. And we was on the road too, which was kind of, we went all the way to Boston, right? So it was kind of far, but I was super excited. It was like nervous excitement, I think. And then once the puck dropped and I had a few shifts, I was like, okay, we're good. But
were your parents there that night? Did they come down to see your debut?
They did not. They didn't make the trip for that one. And it was a little, it was really tough because I think the borders were still kind of closed at that point. So they didn't make it down as a family until December. I want to say Christmas time.
Okay.
But my dad had made the trip down a couple times before that, just him. So they watched online though.
That's
so
fair.
At least they watched.
Nothing wrong with that. So do you guys, I mean, again, and this sounds like a dumb question, although I know it's not, like, do you guys have like the diehards that come and see you every game then? Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And we definitely, there's a lot of Minnesota girls on my team. So their families and their parents, they're there almost every game at home. So we have a big fan section, which
good.
Is nice.
Good. That's awesome. Good. And playing in front of a crowd is always fun. So,
yeah.
And any nerves, any anxious nerves or rest aside, you had a pretty great night, all things considered, for your NCAA debut. You had two assists. You got the primary assist on Charlotte Akrovic's power play goal to make it 1-0 in the second period. And you had the primary assist on Brooke Bryant's second period goal to make it 3-0. 3-0 win over Merrimack. What was it like for you jumping in and playing such a huge role for your team in your first NCAA game and first NCAA win?
Yeah, it was super cool being able to contribute, especially in my first game. And after that, kind of helped with the nerves a bit. And I was like, okay, like, I can keep doing this and keep playing this way. So it was really cool. And it was kind of surreal almost, like, finally being there. And, like, you know, dreamed of playing college hockey for how many years, and then I was like, I'm actually in the game. Like, I'm here. So it's kind of weird, but yeah, it was super cool. It was a super fun game.
I mean, give us the feeling. I mean, your first point at 11:41 of the second period, like, there aren't many.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of players who can say they've done that, but at the same time though, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, it was, I was like, wait, did she just score? Like, I was kind of like, oh my gosh. I didn't believe it happened. I was like, oh, she did. So we went and I was like, yay, good job, Charlotte. So,
and then like really 20 cool. minutes later, you realize, oh, I got a point on that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool. Like, it didn't really hit me. Nothing really hits me until after the game when I look back at it. And I'm like, oh, that just happened. Like, in the moment, it's kind of just all exciting and like nerves and surreal. And you're kind of just focused on the next play and like whatever, you know, but.
Okay, but hold on. You set her up though. Like, how it doesn't register at that time.
Doesn't
you're
click.
Like, oh my God, it's my first point.
I don't know. I got the puck and I saw her waiting. She was like, she wanted that one timer. So it's like, okay, here you go. And she shot it and I was like, okay, cool.
Okay. That's fine. Did you keep the puck though from that night?
Oh, I did not get that puck.
Oh, somebody stole it. That's not good.
Yeah. So yeah, I got my first goal puck though, so it's okay. Well,
I'm glad you brought that up because we're going to jump ahead to October 30th at home against the number one ranked Wisconsin Badgers. What did you do that night?
I got my first goal, which was super, super exciting. It was on a 2-on-1 play, and it was a really good breakout pass from Brooke Bryant. And then I was on a 2-on-1, and the D kind of took the other forward I was with. So I was like, okay, we're going to shoot. And so I shot low blocker and it went in and I was like, oh my gosh, I just scored my first goal. And it was so exciting. And everyone was super excited for me and they got me the puck, which I still have. So
yeah, I was going to ask, did you get that puck?
That one better be there. Yeah.
Yeah, I got that one. And that was definitely a really cool first goal, especially against Wisconsin, which is a really good team. So Yeah, so it was exciting.
The official line for your first goal was 4:15 of the first period from Brooke Bryan and Charlotte Akervic. So, I mean, you you guys had a pretty decent line that year. Do you remember who you beat for that goal? Who was the goaltender?
Was it Kennedy Blair?
It was her?
Yeah.
So that was a pretty big goal against a pretty good goaltender as well. So congratulations on that. That's obviously great. I mean, at the same time, I mean, obviously, you know, going through your head and you just said like it was, oh my God, I scored or whatever. I mean, you get back to the bench. Like, what's the reaction from everybody else?
Lots of hugs and lots of like, oh, great job. Like, we're so proud of you. It was really nice that everyone was kind of celebrating it with me, which made it so much better. It sucked my parents couldn't have been there for the first one, but they saw it online, so that was good.
And yeah, now the puck is in a sealed box, and it's on the mantle, and they can look at it every once in a while.
I gotta ask, what's Dad's reaction in the phone call after the game then?
He texted me like right when it happened, and I saw it after the game, and he was like, "Nice shot, good goal!" Like, you know, he'll send me texts throughout the game, like on plays, because I don't remember like every single play I do, and he'll be like, "Oh, shouldn't have done that," or "Oh, that was a really good pass." I'm like, "Okay, thanks, Dad." But yeah, he was really happy for me, and we FaceTimed after, and it was nice.
So, well, that season you played 33 out of the team's 35 games. Along with that first goal, you wound up with 6 goals, 8 assists. You led all rookies on your team in scoring, and you were named Rookie of the Year for that effort. So, aside from obviously the first goal, first point, what stands out to you for the most from that season? Was it a win? Was it a singular moment? Was it something on the ice, off the ice? Was there one thing that really just sticks out for you?
Definitely as a team, when we beat University of Minnesota, that was a really, really exciting moment for all of us, just because they're such a top team, and I don't think our Mankato had beat them at home or beat them in general since like 2011. So we beat them in their own rink, and it had been like almost 10 years since they had won. So that was a really exciting win for us. But overall, it was such a fun year for me, and it was nice to be back like playing games. And our team we had a lot of adversity last year as a team, lots of injuries, missing lots of people. We only had 3 lines of forwards that year, 3 lines plus 1, because we were so low on people from injuries. So we're definitely fighting a lot of adversity, and our captain, she was centralized, so she didn't play the whole year last year either. But
21-22 didn't go so well though. COVID obviously is a big factor. Can't take, you know, we're not going to put that on, you know, out in front of anything, because I mean that definitely derailed a lot of stuff that happened in that season. But you also suffered a knee injury. What was the cause of that knee injury, and obviously how's the knee feeling now?
Yeah, that was a tough time. I actually injured it a couple times before I ended up getting knee surgery. So I injured it, I dislocated my knee, and I tore my MPFL, which no one has ever heard of, and it's a very like
hidden, I was about to ask.
Yeah,
there's way too many letters in there. Yeah.
No, and everyone's like, oh, like MCL. I'm like, no, MPFL. Yeah, so I dislocated my knee and then tore that. And because like it's such a rare injury, a lot of doctors didn't really know what to do. So I ended up going to London, Ontario, and that's where I got my surgery. And now my knee's completely better now, but it was definitely a tough year and a half of just constantly re-injuring it and not knowing what I did wrong, like why it kept happening. But and obviously being great to my last year of hockey and not being able to play because of COVID and because of my knee. So it was tough, but made me stronger and helped me get to where I am today. So
I mean, but is it was it a hockey injury, or was it a different sport that caused it? Like, do you know where it came from then, Alexis?
Well, it happened in, so the first time I had ever dislocated it was in hockey, and I thought I got like slashed or something. Like, it just felt like I got hacked really hard on the side of my knee. And then I was back in 2 weeks. Like, it was a very quick turnaround. And then the second time it happened was actually, I was kicking a soccer ball, and that's when I tore it from just kicking a ball. Oh, geez. So it was, that was really tough. That one, that happened in May of 2019, I believe, or May of 2020. And then the next time that it happened was in a game again, but I didn't tear it again. I just kind of ruptured it. And so after that, I was like, okay, this can't keep happening. Like, we need to figure something out. So it was kind of both. It still amazes me to this day that from kicking a ball, I tore it, but
well, yeah. Wow.
Very just fluke. Like, I'm like, how?
But it's always the weirdest way.
Yeah.
I've had the same like foot injury for like a year and I still don't know what it is and why it happened. So
yeah.
So that kind of all catches us up to the present day. But mm-hmm. before we get to that, it might be interesting for people to know that you were recruited to play two sports at Minnesota State. As mentioned before, you're one heck of a tennis player. The question is, are you still playing tennis for the school?
I am not. Definitely coming into when I committed, my plan was to play both. But after having my knee injury, I kind of prioritized getting better so I could be back for hockey. So that kind of ended my tennis plans to come here. But I did end up meeting actually a player on the tennis team here, and I've played tennis with her a few times since being here. So I'm still good friends with some of them, and I still play a bit, but I'm not on the team or anything, and I don't play for them. I'm just playing hockey here. So
I don't know if people are aware of this. Not that we're following you around or anything, Alexis, but a couple of assists in the opening weekend against Ohio State. Looks good on the stat sheet. That's always great for everybody. But got to ask about this conference you guys play in, because the WCHA is legitimately, in my view, probably the hardest conference to play in for women's hockey, with the likes of national champion Ohio State playing there, perennial top-ranked yeah. Wisconsin, Minnesota, always mm-hmm. tough Minnesota Duluth, plucky Bemidji State, the vastly improved St. Cloud State this year in terms of having a number of changes there. Mm-hmm. There really are no easy weekends in the WCHA, is there?
No, it's such a competitive division. And, you know, like I said, I wanted to play in it because I love how competitive it is. But yeah, we had a tough past 2 weeks, and it's definitely hard too. And four out of the eight teams in our division are ranked like top 10 nationally. Yeah, that makes it a bit of a challenge. But I think we've been in close games all year so far. So it's just capitalizing on those chances, and we'll come out on top. So
talking about those teams, you know, incredible, very difficult conference to play in. But something yeah. that a lot of, I don't know if there's even a parallel to be drawn north of the border here, just with the rivalries that exist in NCAA sports, just more generally. Mm-hmm. Who would you say is the biggest rival for Minnesota State? Like, is there one team that's circled on the calendar each and every year, no matter what's going on?
Since I've been here, I would definitely say it's UMD, just because last year was a very devastating ending from them to our season. And this past weekend was definitely another tough one. So I would definitely say UMD or University of Minnesota. I think just because we're kind of close in distance, you know, Ohio's a bit further away. But yeah, for me personally, it's UMD. Like, they are circled on my calendar to play them. So.
And what's the atmosphere like when you've got games like that? Like, obviously we've all seen, you know, NCAA games on TV before. Like, what's the vibe like in the rink when you're actually playing games against teams like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's all business. Like, we're there to win, and we want to compete and win against these teams. So it's pretty quiet, lots of focus. I do like the agility ladder before every game, which is kind of a weirder routine I've learned, but I like it, so it works for me. But yeah, lots of focus going on, and, you know, we all know what we need to do. It's just getting ready to execute on the ice. So
You guys got a big weekend coming up. You have a home and home with the Minnesota Gophers this weekend, Friday mm-hmm. in Mankato at the Mayo Clinic Health Event Center. Holy, I can't even pronounce Mayo Clinic Health System Event Center. Holy, get that
one. It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, like, can you just kind of call it the Mayo Clinic Arena? Like, come on.
Yeah.
that game's at 3 p.m. and it can be seen on Big Plus, as well as on Charter Spectrum 191 and 826 before the series shifts to Minneapolis and the University of Minnesota on Saturday. Give us a bit of a preview of that series. What should we expect in terms of watching you guys play?
Yeah, you know, we're definitely fired up after playing them last year, and you know, we know we can beat them. And I think going into this weekend, we're just ready to go, and it's all business. Like, we're when puck drop happens, like this week even has been a really competitive week of practice, and you can tell that everyone's fired up and ready to go. So I'm super excited to play this weekend against them.
We got a few minutes left. Do you want to handle some softball questions that are basically just easy, have a laugh at and answer however you want questions?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, these should make you laugh a little bit, but they're more fun than crazy or anything like that. But let me start with an obvious one. This one should be pretty easy to answer. Former Queens teammate Kendra Fortin plays defense for Bemidji State. Is it weird to play against her, or is it all business when you two are on the ice?
You know, we'll have a good talk after, but on the ice, it's all business. Yeah, we'll give each other a little hack here and there, but I always say hi to her after, and it's nice to catch up quickly.
Is there trash talk between you two when you're on the ice together, or what? No,
I'm not really a trash talker. So unless people are saying things to me, like, I don't even pick up on it sometimes, because I just like, I'm so like focused on what I'm doing. Like, I leave that to my line mates, all the talking.
That's all right then. But, good for you.
Yeah.
This is the question that I had circled when I was given the list of questions that we were going to go over, because I want to know this. So according to Home Depot, your dad built the best backyard rink in 2013 in Thunder Bay.
Yeah.
How often were you out there with your dad hosing down another layer of ice?
Oh, constantly. I mean, my brothers and I would take shifts with him, and he'd be out there the whole time, which I don't know how he did, because it would be freezing. But yeah, we'd work on the rink every day, because we were out there almost every day, so it'd get chewed up so easily. But we ended up having kind of like a party for like the best rink and whatever. So we had the Lakewood Thunderwolves, the university team in my hometown. They came out and skated on the rink with us. I was allowed to have like a few friends over to skate with the Thunderwolves and me. So that was really fun and cool. But he loves that too. He'll still say, like, remember when I won best rink? Like, I'm like, yeah, dad, good job.
I was expecting, like, is there a plaque in the house somewhere?
No, it's only in his heart.
Oh, okay.
He'll talk about it, but you don't have like an actual trophy.
We're going to make it official then. Congratulations, Dave, on winning the best backyard rink in 2013 in Thunder Bay. There you go. Done. See, now he's famous. He's on the radio for that.
He'll love that.
There you go. going through some of your old numbers anyway, you wore number 9 for Nibing, but have pretty much worn 14 for every other team. Is there significance or meaning behind number 14 for you, Alexis?
I honestly couldn't get number 16 one year, so I was like, okay, 14 is pretty close to that. So I picked 14, and I liked the way it looked, so I kind of just stuck with it ever since. And I didn't want to be the same number as my parents for some reason, because I think I wanted to be independent, so I wanted to pick like a random number. So that's kind of how I started my number, and I've stuck with it since.
you may not know the reason, and I don't expect you to know the reason if you don't, but Elliot's wearing 21, looks like, this year for the Sioux. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going up by sevens now? Are we going to expect Ben to one day wear 28 or what?
I have no idea. I can't keep up with all the number changes. Ben is probably the worst for it. I feel like he's had a new number a few times already. Same with Elliot. They both have. So I can't really keep up with it. Maybe I'll ask him tonight and ask him why he's that number now. But
that's all right. That's fair. No, not a problem. I'm not going to lie to you. I nearly canceled this interview outright when I found out you're a Maple Leafs fan as well.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I didn't want to cancel it. But Mitch Marner, your favorite player. So let's get the story. Why the Maple Leafs? Why Mitch Marner? What makes him your favorite player?
Well, I think I started liking the Leafs just because my dad liked Montreal. And I honestly think that's why I started liking them, just because I wanted to start a rivalry.
The household rivalry. Yeah.
And it now continues on, you know. And so I actually do like them as a team now, like by myself. But I think it started by wanting to not like the same team as my dad. And then Mitch Marner, I just love the way he plays. So he's kind of been like a role model. Like, I like the way he sees the ice and makes plays. And he's a playmaker. He sets up Matthews like every time. So I love watching them play together. So,
have the Minnesota Wild found a way into your heart yet? No?
Not really. I've really tried. My teammates, they all love the Wild. So whenever I talk about Toronto, they're like, who? Like Toronto? I'm like, yes. Like Minnesota Wild? Like, but you know, they can be a top five, I guess, for me. All like, right, I can let them in a bit.
That's fair.
I mean, you can definitely do worse. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets do exist, and they're kind of in a sad state right now.
Yeah, I have not been a Winnipeg Jets fan before, but my younger brother has. Ben has been. I think he still likes them, but.
Well, there you go. At least we got one Paddington on our.
Yeah, one of them. One of us.
So we, in research, found out that you became semi-famous in 2014 when you and EJ were waiting to meet Canadian Olympian Haley Irwin at the Thunder Bay Airport following the gold medal victory by the Canadian women at the Olympics that year, as CBC ran the story. Was that day in 2014 the first time you were ever interviewed, or was it today?
That might have been the first time I was ever interviewed back. That was a long time ago. But that was, yeah. Yeah, I don't think I even remember that interview at all, but I remember meeting Haley and I've met her a few times, and she was definitely one role model for me too, looking up to, you know, just being from Thunder Bay and her playing and winning gold medals. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do that one day. Like, that's so cool. And I believe she played at UMD too. So, but yeah, she was super cool. And it was kind of nice to, those medals are heavy. I held hers and it was heavy. So
you got to earn that, all that gold, I guess.
So, yeah. Yeah. It must make your neck sore. Like,
I'm not sure that pain will ever, you ever feel that pain though, when you're walking with it around, like, I mean, that's a gold medal, right? Like,
yeah.
Who even notices?
Bringing you up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There are three Canadians on the Mavericks roster this year, yourself, Kennedy Bobick, and Ocean Asham, who's a Manitoban and we're certainly proud of, but do you guys like live together? Is there a Canadian corner of the dressing room? Like, do you guys like take on the rest of the Americans once in a while and say, not out Canada versus US? Like, is there a Canadian contingent in the Mavericks dressing room?
There isn't really, but sometimes, like, with words, people are like, oh, you say this really weird. I'm like, I don't think I say it weird. I think you just say this really weird. So it's kind of like random, like, words. We did have a Canadian Thanksgiving with all of us.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Kennedy's parents were in town, so we had a dinner with them to celebrate Thanksgiving because we couldn't go home. So that was really nice. But, and then we had two Canadians that graduated last year too. So there's been a few so far.
That's good. You're not alone.
Things get a little tense when the US and Canada play. Things are, the dressing room gets a little bit more tense, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit. It was tough too, watching the college series in the summer, because the four Mavericks were on that team for the team. But I was like, Canada, like, I want them to win, but I want my teammates to do well. So, like, I don't know who to pick.
Pride and patriotism every single day.
Yep. Yeah.
So you've got three pretty great coaches, John Harrington, Jeff Giesen, and Sherry Dickerman. But be honest, is it bag skates for the team three times a week? Is it, you know, strength and conditioning every single day? What's it looking like?
We don't get skated too much, which I'm very grateful for, but we work out as a team before practice twice a week. And then we do a lot of systems, a lot of kind of like game situation type of drills. So those are a bag almost in the drill. Which is kind of nice because there's at least a puck. So, but yeah, I mean, it's not too bad.
I mean, obviously, I mean, John head coach and Jeff and Sherry are assistant coaches, but I mean, what's it like? I mean, in terms of the way they run their practice, like, I mean, are they, do you guys have some good laughs? Do you guys, are, is it all business? Like, what goes on in practice? And I mean, Sherry's a former player, so she knows
kind of
what you guys are going through. But I mean, honestly, we're joking about the bag skates, but is it all business when you guys are out there?
Yeah, it's pretty serious. We'll have a good laugh every once in a while. If someone has a funny fall or funny comment, we'll all have a good laugh about it. But we do try and get a lot done while we're out there, because we don't have too much practice. We only have a certain block of practice time a day, so we're trying to be most as efficient as we can. So,
all right, that's fair. Your major is financial planning and insurance, which should be good for a job once you graduate. Obviously, lots of options that way. But is professional hockey still in the mix if and when you graduate?
I honestly don't really know at this point yet. If that opportunity came, I would do that, and I would want to do that. I've also been, you know, I'm a finance major, but being a coach too, I've always kind of wanted to do. So might go down that route, but we'll see where I where I end up in the next couple of years. Kind of just living every day by day.
I was going to say, keep every door open. That's fine. Yeah, yep. Nothing wrong with that. So,
yeah.
Okay. So we save the best question for last. And this is another question that I'm very excited that I get to ask it. when you were younger, mm-hmm. you were part of two musicals, Annie and Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Who did you play in both of those?
So in Beauty and the Beast, I was one of Gaston's like girls who was like obsessed with him. So I like chased him around the whole like show pretty much. It was like a silly girl or whatever. Okay. And then in Annie, I was Grace. That's who I was. I was Grace.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. It was so fun doing those, like, because it was just such a different environment from hockey and like from sports, even like just completely different. It was so much fun. I wish I did more in high school, but it was so busy. I just couldn't. But yeah, it was really fun.
Jason, there's a part two to this question.
Yes, there is. we know that the Minnesota State Mankato Department of Theater and Dance will be performing The Sound of Music from April 7th to 17th, which is a month after the Frozen Four.
Yeah.
Will we see Alexis Paddington on the show bill?
You will not see me there.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Come on.
My theater days are a bit behind me now, I think.
Well, now I'm going to return my tickets.
Yeah, I might go watch, though. I'll go support them, but...
I still think you should go for it. I mean, what's the harm, right? You're already done hockey. It's pretty much exams. I mean, they're not over, but you can get in there. You can be one of the performers, Sound of Music. Look at you.
Yeah. These shows take more than a month, though. Like, they're probably already preparing. They probably got roles already.
Just do one of the walk-on roles. You'll be all right. One of the extras.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be a background stage mover.
See, there you go. You got it.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome. Obviously, things are going really well for you. Things are doing really good. Thanks for, you know, having a laugh with us over a few of those questions. Obviously, we want to see you guys do well this year in terms of winning the WCHA and going to the Frozen Four and hopefully, you know, standing there with the trophy at the very end, much like your rivals in Ohio State did last year. But in saying all that, I mean, are we going to see you guys at the end? You know, are you building that ramp towards the playoffs where you guys are going to go on a run?
Yeah, I think we definitely have so much potential with this group and we all want to win and we're all here working hard every day. So it's super exciting to see how the next couple of weeks are going to shake out. And I would definitely say to come watch us in our home rink. I love our home rink and obviously everybody loves their home barn. So yeah, but hopefully my parents make the trip a few more times next couple of weeks. But we'll yeah, definitely so.
We'll motivate Dave and Carolyn to get down there. So. Mm-hmm. But Dave, yeah, Carolyn, get going down.
Yeah, like, come on, guys. Come on.
Alexis, yeah. We want to thank you for doing this. This has been fantastic. We had a great laugh and certainly learned a lot about you. I'm happy to be able to give you a chance to tell your story a little bit. And certainly we're going to be cheering for the Mavericks for the entire season. So let's hope we see you at the end. Let's hope we see you in mid-March there with a trophy under your arm.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is lots of fun.
With that, we are going to let Alexis go in terms of having that interview finished. She has been an outstanding guest for us here tonight. And Alexis, like we said, we certainly want to see you do well. Jason, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Go Minnesota State Mankato.
Go Minnesota State Mankato. Let's give a cheer out for the Mavericks as they get ready to take on Minnesota this weekend, both at home and in Minneapolis. That, folks, we're out of here for another week here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Thursday. You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.